From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. Two state conservation groups this week asked the Minnesota Supreme Court to stop wolf hunting and trapping this fall. Two national groups are also seeking legal protection for wolves. The Center for Biological Diversity and Howling for Wolves seek review of a Minnesota Court of Appeals decision issued last week that denied their motion for a preliminary injunction. Unless the decision of the Court of Appeals is reversed by the Minnesota Supreme Court, wolf hunting and trapping will begin November 3rd with the opening of the deer firearms season. The groups claim that without a preliminary injunction, the wolf seasons will be over before the appellate court considers the merits of their legal challenge, which claims the state failed to take formal public comment on the hunt. Wisconsin's wolf hunt started Monday of this week, although court action there has stopped or at least delayed the use of hounds for wolf hunting. Meanwhile, the Humane Society of the United States and the Fund for Animals signaled this week that they will file suit against the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in an effort to return the Great Lakes wolf to the endangered species list. The groups are also asking that Wisconsin and Minnesota halt their wolf hunts. Amid all the legal actions, Minnesota's prospective wolf hunters are taking their time buying their licenses. 6,000 hunters were selected in the lottery for the right to buy licenses for Minnesota's first wolf season. But as of Monday of this week, the Department of Natural Resources had sold 1,155 of the 3,600 available early season licenses. Hunters selected for the early wolf hunting season must buy their licenses by Wednesday, October 24th. Lottery winners for the late hunting and trapping season, which opens on the 24th of November, must buy their licenses by November 15th. The DNR says it has sold 305 of the 1,800 late season hunting licenses and 166 of the 600 available trapping licenses. Licenses that remain unsold by the deadlines will become available to other hunters. The Cook County Board of Commissioners Tuesday went on record opposing the proposed voter ID amendment to the state constitution. Commissioner Jim Johnson made the motion to oppose the voter ID constitutional amendment based on the extra cost to the taxpayers that it would have if passed. The motion was seconded by Commissioner Sue Hakes and the vote was unanimous. I spoke with Jim Johnson earlier this week about his motion. The county board voted yesterday to oppose the voter ID constitutional amendment, and you made the motion. So what's behind the board's motivation to do that?
Well, there's a couple of things. I think the main motivation for the board is that it's a possible cost to the county that could be significant over time. And the other thing is, of course, we really don't know what the definition is going to be of the mail-in ballot situation. And the way it looks right now, it's going to be very difficult to have voter ID when you have a mail-in ballot. So all of those things, I guess it's kind of ironic that it got politicized to the point where Republicans all want this and Democrats pretty much don't want this. And since none of us on the board declares a party, it's probably not appropriate for us to take a stand, except for the fact that it's going to cost county a lot of money. And when you've got legislators and people that have taken a no-new tax pledge trying to keep the cost of government down, and you've got the same party creating a situation which will potentially increase the cost significantly through not only Cook County, but the rest of the state. I mean, it just seems ironic to me that that situation exists.
Well, also the fact that you really don't know how the amendment would be implemented, because as Representative Mary Kiffmeyer, sponsor of the bill, told us a couple of weeks ago, that's too much language to put into an amendment. And of course, she's right. But that means that a future legislature next year is going to have to do that. In the meantime, the county board really doesn't have any way of knowing what it might need for money, if at all, and how you would go about doing that. You'd really only have 1 year to adjust a budget, because this would take effect for the 2014 election.
Well, that's, you know, that's a big part of it, and not only that, but of course, everybody agrees with the idea that we want people to cast ballots honestly, but people also agree with the idea that we don't want to discourage legitimate voters from coming to the ballot box. And of course, this would probably make, you know, senior citizens and people that don't have driver's license, which is a significant number of people, you know, jump through hoops, and then if they've got to apply for some kind of a identity card, that's going to take money on somebody's part to establish the whole process and issue the cards. This thing just doesn't make any sense to me at all. If you're going to vote for something, it would be nice to know what we're voting for. In this case, I think we're going to vote, you know, the devil's in the details. I think if we vote for it, we're going to end up being surprised by how much it's going to cost. Almost all the counties in Minnesota agree that it's going to be a significant cost to them if this thing goes through.
I think now Cook County and a couple of weeks ago, St. Louis County Board, probably the only two that I'm aware of that have actually taken a stance on this in terms of a resolution. And both Cook County and a large part of St. Louis County are mail-in counties.
Yeah, and it's going to affect us. And if we have to establish polling places in all of our precincts, there's regulations on all handicapped access and bathrooms, you know, facilities for handicapped. And there really isn't even any place in some of our precincts to have a legitimate polling place because of the regulations. So who knows how that's all going to play out. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Jim, we just wanted to talk to you about your motion.
Yeah.
And thank you for getting in touch with us this morning. We've been speaking with County Commissioner Jim Johnson. Republican Congressman Chip Cravack and DFL challenger Rick Nolan are at odds over the best ways to create jobs and provide health care in their latest 8th District debate. Cravack and Nolan debated for a third time this week before an overflow crowd at Anoka Ramsey Community College in Cambridge. On environmental issues, Nolan said environmentalists are not hurting economic development in northeastern Minnesota. Cravack criticized Nolan for opposing logging, snowmobiling, and motorboating when he voted to create the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness in the late 1970s. Cravack said, quote, Congressman Nolan sided essentially with the Twin City environmentalists and was actually in opposition of pro-growth, pro-economic reforms that we needed in the Northland to create jobs, unquote. Nolan said he remains proud of his BWCAW vote, which he suggested has created tourism jobs in the district. He said, quote, it's one of the 10 best destination-oriented vacations in the entire world. People fly in from all over America, all over the world, to take advantage of that great experience, unquote. Outside groups have spent nearly $4.5 million on the race in the 8th District, a key seat as the parties fight for control of the House. Cravack and Nolan will meet for their fourth and final debate, 31st of October, in Virginia. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.